That's as far as the xylophone goes.
I feel like I'm watching Shrek.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Hallelujah.
Number one Shrek podcast.
Yep.
We probably Wait, is Hallelujah in Shrek?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Hallelujah is required to be in all movies.
Yeah, it's in every movie one way. Yeah.
So like half baked, it's in there.
Was this them burning off the rights from like that period of where in like 1996 when every single NBC show had to have it?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, you know what movie doesn't have Hot Rod in it? What? Hallelujah. What?
Oh God, you were so
you almost got it. You're gonna take it from the top? We'll leave it
in. I'll
leave my ad libs in.
Hot Rod has the AM radio version
of Hallelujah. That was a bad lib, just like you.
Wow.
I
got him.
Fried me. See? That's the kind of banner you can only get on the internet's only college football podcast, which
Banter Society.
Are we in week three of being Banner Society's flagship quarantine podcast?
To be clear, you can't keep track of the weeks when they are numbered by ESPN. We're definitely not going to ask you to do it during a quarantine when time has no meaning.
I will say that today is the first day since we started lockdown that I disciplined children in my home with a squirt bottle.
Hey.
So I'm calling this day zero.
I assume for now you used water.
For now.
But for now. It
was my second best squirt bottle. That one just has water.
Sure.
As Spencer revealed shortly before recording, all liquid is liquid. So
all liquid. Remember, we don't actually have to make sense now. Hmm. Hold on. My tone is about to become more somber, right, and I'm going to take a turn towards leadership. Are you ready?
Yep.
All liquid is liquid.
Whoa.
Whoa.
The loans are our money.
Who was that?
Whoa. It's the leader of the free world. Got to respect it.
Wait, what?
Liquid is liquid.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, you don't have to make sense anymore. That's the fun part about it. You can just say things and people will go, you said them very gravely, and that sounded important.
This musical frog represents the out of doors that we are no longer permitted to wander freely.
I had a really uplifting moment today during quarantine this is. So I realized that even though my brain is quarantine broken, it's still regular broken. And here is why. I was doing the dishes, and out of nowhere, the following thought popped into my head. If I were named a justice of the Supreme Court, I would grow a rat tail because... Because you're appointed for life. So they can't, even if they were going to somehow come up with the ludicrous claim that having a rat tail disqualified you from office, you can't be removed. And secondly, what litigator is going to say shit about it? So now extremely fancy prosecutors, defenders, private litigators, whatever, they have to
come. And you'd pull it over your shoulder too, right?
100%. I'd whip it around.
So, Ryan, you say if you had a job you were stuck with for life that you'd grow a rat tail.
Correct.
Well, you're on this podcast for life, brother, so let's get that thing cooking.
You know what I've never thought working in digital media is? Ah, finally, a life appointment. Finally, the security that I've always sought.
When is this episode going up?
that and this, you would have followed the lead of Sean Connery when he walked onto the set of Red October.
To be clear, I did not specify there's a salary because
public life appointment. But yeah, Sean Connery walked onto the set of Hunt for Red October unannounced with a hairpiece with a ponytail. And he wore it until cinematographer, director of photography, Jan DeBont started laughing while reviewing the dailies, remarking to Connery to his face that the ponytail looked like, quote, a limp, swinging dick. Connery was so upset at the mockery that by the end of the second day, he went and got a new hairpiece.
And this was the beginning of the Jan de Bonassance.
So they have to put in a scene where he cuts his rat tail?
No, they had to shoot new footage.
Also, the wig, the hairpiece that had the ponytail was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was like...
No, it was an insanely expensive hairpiece.
It is estimated in this quote as being 20 grand.
Hell yeah. That's
grand.
In like $1,990 dollars.
Yeah, the cost. Actually, the most expensive thing, though, this is my favorite part. Or actually, the second favorite part. The first is that everyone else on set going, oh my God, that's Sean Connery. Walking God, Sean Connery. And Jan de Bont is like, it looks like a dick. That asshole. The second best thing is, according to the director, John McTiernan, the actual toupee in the movie costs like $15. They just slapped it on
$1990. You could start an NBA franchise for $15.
I'm pretty sure the Charlotte Hornets were started for $15.
Oh yeah.
Just like, wouldn't it be awesome if you saw me at the State of the Union in my robes, looking regal as fuck, just playing with my rat tail while the president was talking about foreign policy?
So I'm envisioning, and Ryan, I picture your hair a lot.
Sure.
But in this particular scenario, it's beaded, one of those.
Yes, it is beaded.
Thank you for asking, because I was going to ask if you were planning on installing any Pandora beads.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has the, like, I went to a saint island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have it, but it was months ago, and it's starting to get a little weird.
Can I work beads some
for butt stuff?
Can I work some turquoise in there?
Absolutely.
So I can get you in that, like, Val Kilmer kind of, like, thing.
Rat's tail. Right. Where it's sort
rat's
of
tail, like, not Ryan's tail.
It's like, Val Kilmer, are you like doing like a Native American thing? And he's like, whatever, man. Okay, cool.
I'm just picturing out, like, I'm just picturing I Descent spelled out in like Times New Roman beads.
Like we said, the internet's only college football podcast. You're listening to it right now, production of BannerSociety.com.
For now.
For now.
Justice Ryan now demands podcast business.
There's no half steps on
this. This is also in Shrek.
Dick!
Dick! Podcast business!
Shrek's dick.
And Eddie Murphy just seals dick!
Our podcast business this week involves our sister podcast.
They don't think kids need to learn sharps and flats. Life isn't a major key, y'all.
Wow.
I agree. Speaking of minor characters, Stephen Godfrey has something going on that I think we want to talk about.
He's only minor. He's not really minor in anything. Height, pain in my ass.
No.
He went to El Paso. Their team is the minors.
Mm.
Wow.
That's true.
Tie it all together. If you go to Scott Frost,
Ole Miss grad. Yeah.
If you go to scottfrostday.com, you can see the GoFundMe where Godfrey, as of now, is up to
$4,421.
Correct. What are those people paying money for? Yeah.
I want to let Jason tell this story, because Jason has been the first and the most repeated one to point out how stupid this meme is.
Sure.
So every few weeks, it used to be
hours
on Twitter, but now minutes. That everyone's bored out of their fucking minds, every 6 minutes, there's another like prompt tweet that, and Roger Sherman had a really good example of breaking it down, but like, would you rather eat like an ice cream sundae with your best friend for 5 minutes and we'll pay you $1 billion, or, you know, or fight a shark? Yep. For 67 cents, you know, like that type of stupid shit. And there's one a couple of days ago that was like, you know, somebody gives you $3,500 to eat this entire tray of McDonald's in 90 minutes. You know,
what do you do?
What are you going to do about it? And everyone's like,
it's always presented like a hostage situation. Like Dennis Hopper has you on the phone. He's like, pop quiz, hot shot. You've got 3 double quarter pounders and some fries. And if you don't eat it all, I'll murder your family. What do you do?
Yeah. Like the meal, like what is on the meal? It's like 3 double quarter pounders, a single, 2 fries, 2 orders of nuggets, 3 sodas, something like that.
Yes.
I mean, I would eat that as a reward for eating salads for 3 straight. I would eat this if someone just came up to me and said, you know, you shouldn't eat all that. Bitch, it's on. I'm going to eat all that.
Do you think, is the 90 minutes a thing for you?
Not really. I mean, shit, man. You hustle
We've
through
half of it. We've already established that Jason eats like a python.
You hustle through half of it in 15 minutes. You go take a shit, take a nap, come back. Bam. It is lunchtime already. You know
Re-braid
what I mean?
Like, your rat tail. You're good to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Jason, I'm really glad you said that, because a little later on in the show, we have an interview with a medical professional who at one point suggests as a unit of measurement, have you ever taken a shit in a Waffle House bathroom? Wow. as like a unit of time to have been at a Waffle House.
Like, is this advised against or something? Like,
you know what? I'm gonna let us all find out together.
You'll never hear, by the way, competitive eaters in the middle of a competition out loud going, "Oh, I got a shit." Which,
why is that?
That's because they're pros and they just shit themselves on stage and keep moving.
Yeah.
Usually the mouth's full, but I just imagine
they're all wearing astronaut pants.
I was just imagining like the lowest form of humor, which would be Joey Chestnut waving his hands frantically going, "I gotta poop."
How is there never a movie where David Spade plays a professional competitive eater?
Yeah.
There probably is. It probably just went straight to Netflix.
What happened to David Spade?
Probably hugely popular. Godfrey has said he can do this in 30 minutes. Originally he said 20. I think possibly.
Godfrey also said he was on paternity leave, so.
Yeah, there's that too. The good news is this is not being done. There is a charitable element to this. The money is going to be split between Action for Hospitality, which is a fund in Middle Tennessee to provide relief and aid for workers in the hospitality industry, doing great here, who have been affected by the tornado that hit like 3 weeks ago now or so. And immediately after that, coronavirus.
It was definitely between 1 and 10 weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's the money is going to a good place.
We're raising money for Nashville, so you know shit is serious.
Here, I'm gonna do the Godfrey thing. Here's a little insider tip that only I have.
Now, I was talking to some industry players.
Yeah.
I was talking to a few ADs.
So I just got a text from a source.
I was on Twitter while my kid was napping.
Literally, as I was saying this sentence, got a text.
Reporting here first on Shutdown Fullcast, Godfrey's wife is pissed.
I'm the phone.
She apparently he tried to turn this on me by saying, well, Ryan did the whole Bloomin' Onion outfit thing. And she explained that this is not the same thing. And
he has been married for way too long to try that shit on.
Sure.
Her.
And I told my wife, I was like, this is what Godfrey pulled. And she said, no, you didn't try to eat the Bloomin' Onion. Right.
You didn't like eat your way into it. Like some sort, like a fucking hermit crab taking into the shell.
Yeah. You ate the previous mascot.
Wait, that's is that how they make Bloomin' Onions?
This is my new home.
Yeah, it's the person who's inside of it, they're stuck. And then it's like, well, we can't let this mascot person go to waste. So
They had to molt.
Oh, I was thinking until you said that word.
Yeah. That's what North Carolina did in that game, in fact.
The real dry molt, as it turns out.
Mm. Not two words I would have expected out of Tampa.
Can we talk about our more humane charity thing that we're doing as well?
Does it also involve gorging on lots and lots of like food of every kind?
Starchy food? It does, but only.
I have a lead in.
Boom.
Oh.
After asking on Twitter last week whether anyone was ever going to take up our bowl season challenge to make Garth Brooks' breakfast bowl and tell us what happened, intrepid Twitter user Ortiz, who is found on Twitter at _, I think it's just two underscores, I don't know, DSO. He and his girlfriend made a mostly Kroger-branded Garth breakfast bowl, which I think is probably about calibrated correctly. You might have wanted to work in some Albertsons products, given where Garth and Trisha probably reside, but I'll accept Kroger. And they did use Bob Evans sausage.
Nice.
I'd like to applaud that.
Oh, yeah.
But really, the highlight of this thread, you can find it on Twitter if you search the full cast mentions. This was back on the 28th. But the highlight of it, which was Ortiz roping, I don't know if this is a girlfriend or
a lady.
Let's just say an accomplice.
There is an accomplice of some sort beginning the process by doing the ceremonial three skillet salute. I am told that this woman is an Ohio State grad, and I appreciate that. That also explains the Krogerdom. But she's got three skillets in her right hand that she's saluting with while wearing a colander over her head and holding a pot over her heart. And, oh, God. Y'all, this belongs in the portrait gallery. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And so, if you'd like to pay tribute, to both the spirit of the Garth Brooks Breakfast Bowl and donate to charity. Ryan, hit them up.
You go to 25snakes.com. That takes you to Homefield. You know about Homefield. Don't pretend like you listen to this show and you don't know about Homefield. You can buy the Garth Pyramid of Needs tea, which gives you basically everything. If you were to, if you found like a wounded Garth in the woods, this is what you would need to nurse it back to health. In order of
importance. Also, would like to note from Homefield, special for Garth Pyramid tea, we're offering the shirt up through 4X. You're
that's
welcome.
Right. Yeah. That's right. All of the proceeds of this shirt, both ours and Homefield's, are going to Feeding America, which is a national hunger relief organization. Their work is especially critical right now. So you can help those in need. You can sport what I would say is an extremely stylish shirt, and it's not just because I designed it and graphic design is my passion. And one day, if you ever wear this and meet Garth Brooks, he'll be like, oh, you get me. You understand who I am.
Garth Brooks will try to eat your tummy.
You got it. You got Trisha, this guy gets it.
You put the tortellini on top.
I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, and Trisha is going to hate you if she sees this shirt.
Also, if you're looking to donate to your local food bank, Feeding America is a great place to start as well. It's a nationwide network of food banks that can connect you to spots in your area that could really use your help right now. So check it out.
Okay. Before we get into more of our usual unplanned jackassery, we have a special segment this week on the show, which Spencer and Holly took the lead on. So I'm going to let them explain it because they're better than me at this.
That's apparently where I used up all my speaking without coughing skills. So over to you, big guy.
We decided to talk to a friend of the podcast, longtime EDSBS commentator and internet gadfly, who also just happened in the midst of all this commentating and being a solid dude, became a doctor over like the last, 15 years? I don't know how that happened, but Ken Starnes, a.k.a. RotoTutor on...
Which is one of the best usernames out there.
Absolutely.
We've ever had. And it's actually not quite true that we shoehorned him into the podcast. He asked us. He called us up on Saturday night and said, hey, this is about to get really, really awfully real in SEC country. Can I come on the show and talk about it? And the fact that he felt concerned enough after working 8 days out of 9 in emergency rooms to alert our audience footprint to what is coming your way, we decided to take him seriously.
Yeah.
For about 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah. Actual ER doctor, currently practicing in what I think is best called Winter's Bone territory.
You can't reuse the joke that you used in the interview because they're about to hear it again in like 90 seconds.
Just did. It's happening.
Okay. That makes it a callback.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pre-callback. It's Minority Report.
It's called forward shadowing.
I have also heard it referred to as the puppy mill belt. So anyway, here is our interview with Dr. Ken Starnes, longtime EDSBSer. You can find him on Twitter at RotoTutor. For some reason, he says you can at him with medical questions, which means he's the nicest goddamn person I've ever met on the internet.
He's now my senior care physician.
Sorry, Ken. I'm real sorry for what's about to happen to you, buddy, but we sure appreciate your time.
Boy, you're about to get some random questions. And we'll be back with more of our usual foolishness after the break. Welcome to the Shutdown Foolcast. Oh, just breaking. If you're listening to this, that's a news alert, because chances are you're listening to this inside. And why are you listening to this inside? Well, because we're in the middle of a pandemic. A pandemic which threatens a lot of different things, the least of which, by importance, is college football. Might play a season, might not. Who knows?
The least of which, by importance, is Major League Baseball.
That's true. Yeah. That's super true. Yeah. Right.
Here for you. That's called an edit.
Edit! Live editing is one of the benefits of the show. The other one that we have is this. While the entire sports world might be struggling to figure out what to talk about in lieu of actual sports, we, untroubled by sticking to sports at any time, are perfectly prepared for this. And we're prepared in ways that we really didn't even expect, right? For instance, we didn't know that in starting the full cast / EDSBS community that some people would actually become respectable citizens, i.e. doctors.
Not us.
Not us, no. Hasn't happened yet. Probably won't at this point.
Some people actually we took away from responsible citizenship vis-a-vis their earlier legal careers.
Yeah.
But some of our earliest internet companions have gone on to become actual humans with jobs that matter.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah. And we have one of them today. His name is Ken Starnes. He is...
His name is Doctor.
How are you doing, Ken?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. By way of introducing yourself, you are an emergency room physician in the territory between Missouri and Arkansas. Can we call that like Winter's Bone County? And are currently working in ERs in that area, multiple emergency rooms, right?
So there's about six hospitals right now that I have privileges at, and I actively work at three of them right now.
How it's you're spending your free time on the full cast, so we know that you're not okay. But how you doing, bud?
I'm actually doing pretty well. Really, we've seen just a few cases. I kind of assume that everybody who walks in the door has been exposed and is potentially a carrier. What we've been doing, and I just got off a run of, like, I worked between my two hospitals like 8 out of 9 days, and then went back up there doing a lot of planning and a lot of war gaming and a lot of really doing a lot of teaching to a lot of people who are not used to either doing critical care medicine or not used to doing anything like this. So part of that has been nice because we've had time to try to prepare best we can, but also, you know, I'm on the phone with my friends who are working in New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and the bigger cities that are really, really getting hurt right now. And I kind of had this sensation that the wolf is at the door, and after a while, I just want the wolf to just go ahead and show up so I can start fighting it.
One thing that I wanted to ask you about first off is what exactly is about to happen in SEC country to the best that you can say, and why is that such a big deal? Like, why should we start worrying now?
So the biggest issue is, and nobody knows how things are going to completely play out, but there's a term in epidemiology called R0, which is the number of people that that a person can infect by being around them. And so, for example, the flu has an R0 of 1.5, meaning every person who gets it will give it to another 1.5 people. The best data, and this is a little bit old, but the best data that I've seen is that the coronavirus COVID-19 is somewhere in between 2.5 and 3. So people are spreading it to more people and spreading it while they don't know that they have symptoms, because it's such a long incubation period, meaning the time in between that you're infected and you're actually sick, you're still shedding viral particles and making other people sick. So people are just exposing more and more. And what concerned me was large groups of people on beaches and going to church and still kind of going about their daily business. And the particular issue with SEC kind of the Southeast is, one, we ain't the most healthiest people around here.
Is it fair to say that by definition, just sitting still, we're all concerned cases?
But if you look at the highest concentrations of heart disease and diabetes and other and COPD and smoking, the people who are getting very, very sick from this, for the most part, are the ones that have those comorbidities. And the politicians in that part of the country are not helping. And
I would agree with that.
No, that's we'll go away further than that.
We are governed here in Georgia by a guy named Brian, and that's going about as well as you think it would.
Yeah. So one of the things that they'll say, well, the outbreaks are in New York City, or they are in
New York City.
New York City, right? However, everybody who just went on spring break, right? You said, well, people, you know, go to beaches and go to churches, you know, in the Southeast. That's just what everybody got done doing. Spring break just ended. You know, Williamson County, where most of my family lives, Williamson County had everyone go down to spring break.
You know, it's human nature. But when you're hearing from everybody around you and everybody on your Facebook and everybody, you know, and Fox News that this is not a big deal, it just reinforces that. You know, we're not seeing the system overloaded in Seattle, even though that was the first place, because they shut their asses down.
It's very pithy. I like it.
We are seeing younger people getting sick. I know from talking to other people who have seen 20 and 30 year olds die already because of this, and they were healthy.
The question, the two things I want to follow up on that are this. One, some people will say, well, I've seen the numbers. And when they say they've seen the numbers, they say, okay, well, it's a 3% fatality rate or a 2% fatality rate with X number of people not even getting it, X number of people being asymptomatic. You know, 2 to 3% fatality rate, that doesn't seem worth all of this trouble.
Okay, think of 20 people in your family. Name the person you're willing to have die.
A small percentage of the population of your county is a lot of people.
And even if they don't die, some people will come out of this being pulmonary cripples.
Yeah.
I that argument doesn't hold a lot of water with me.
The other thing I wanted to follow up on is comorbidity.
Comorbidity is you have another disease. So usually a chronic disease, like since we're talking about the South, diabetes, or somebody who has asthma or emphysema or heart disease, or, you know, more and more people now are on long-term immune suppressing drugs for things like psoriasis and rheumatoid arthritis. You know, it's just something lurking in the background. You know, if you already have a slow leak in your ship, you're going to be more susceptible when that torpedo hits you. That's suboptimal.
To say the least.
Yeah.
It's bad. We'll translate it. That ain't good.
Where should our audience be getting their information as someone who is struggling to stop scrolling every night?
So I get my information not only from people who are already dealing this and from the CDC and from World Health Organization. Your doctor is a good source. Your state and county health departments. I will put myself out there. I'm, you know, at @rotodat_tutor on the Twitters, and I have been open and had lots of people ask me information on that. So I don't mind.
The best practices that we can pass along, because I know you're an ER doctor, you have no attention span, right?
And also, you don't want to see us in the ER. What should we be doing right now?
The things that people are already saying is washing your hands with soap and water, is staying home, is not being around other people. I get some exercise. It's nice, and it does boost your immune system. I went on a 3.5-hour bike ride yesterday, and it just absolutely made me feel incredible and much more healthy than I had been. Get offline every now and again, and it's hard. I get it. I've been extremely online lately, not only looking for information, but because I'm shut in too, and I have some very, very good friends online that I've known for a very long time, and they're my community now. Eat as healthy as you can. The one thing that I would, you don't need an N95 mask. You haven't been fitted for it. It's not going to help you. Get it to somebody who can need it. And we need them.
That's kind of a segue to the next question, which is, how can we help you and other medical professionals in your position?
My hospitals have been very good about getting us equipment and doing the best we can. The thing is, people concentrate on, well, the doctors need these. I need these. My nurses need these. My respiratory therapists need these, and probably they need them more than anything else. I'm seeing, you know, dozens of people a day, but those are the people who are going in and dealing with the people who are spewing viruses all over the room because they're on a ventilator or they're getting, you know, asthma treatments or BiPAP or things like that, or the people who clean the rooms. For every one of me, there's 10 other people who, if they get sick, I can't do my job. You know, I don't want to get sick because not only I don't want to get sick, but it, you know, we're force multipliers. So if I go down, that's 30 people times 2 weeks that I'm not going to be able to see. And that's why it's important. It's not that we just don't want to get stuff on our faces. It's ER docs are already dying. In a lot of these big outbreaks, it is in the double digits of percentages of patients are medical workers. If we can't do our job, it's just going to be worse.
Anyone who would say that this is overreacting maybe doesn't understand chain capacity and chain capacity failures, right? Like if you take out 5% of the capacity of an emergency room, that's a tremendous like chain of events down the line that take out capacity all over the place elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. The point is if the people who are working in the hospital, and it's not just the ER, it's people working in ICUs and people working in regular floors and people cleaning. And there's a lot of dermatologists figuring out how to run vents right now. The emergency departments are going to be absolutely overrun. If you do not think that you need true emergency care right now, stay the fuck away from the emergency department. If you are just curious that you've been exposed, if you feel like you want to get tested and you are feeling well, call your health department or call your doctor. If you go to an emergency department, a place with an outbreak, you're going to sit there for four, 6, 8, 12 hours. And if you weren't exposed, you're going to now. And if you were, you're going to expose somebody else. If you think you're sick, call your doctor, go. If you're short of breath, if you have a fever, because, you know, obviously people are getting very sick of this, but if it's just curiosity, you're doing a very, very big disservice just to come in like that. If you don't have to be in an emergency department right now, don't go.
All right. Well, we're going to move now to a couple of reader questions. The first of which I wanted to ask, because I think it applies to definitely every member of the full cast and certainly most people mm-hmm. we know. This is from the US of NCAA on Twitter. And this person asks, if I have ingested water from a water park wave pool in my lifetime, does that make me immune?
Say yes. Please say yes.
Absolutely. Oh, well, it really depends on what state you were in.
How about Texas?
They're talking about ingesting water park from a water park pool, so I have to think this is Kansas and below.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, there's some really nice ones in Wisconsin.
Really?
That's true. They've got
up in the up in the Dells. Yeah. There's like a huge one up there. It's only open for like 6 hours in July, but
but it's a banging 6 hours.
That's awesome. That or yeah, if you've actually, you know, had a bowel movement in a Waffle House bathroom, if you've been there that long,
have shit in a Waffle House. And
I took shots off of an ice slide after like 200 other people in 1998 in Ybor City in Tampa.
Oh my god.
So I'm probably immortal.
You're right? Probably still crawling.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, Spencer, a little surprised you're breathing right now.
Hey, there's a non-full cat. So I was sicker than I've ever been in my life a couple months ago. And looking back now, I'm kind of wondering if the Rona paid me a visit a little bit early. But am I correct that there is no way to tell whether or not I can catch this again, so I should still stay the fuck home?
Yes and no. It was a really bad flu season. You know, and there's like 21 other respiratory viruses that give people flu-like symptoms. So it's, you know, it's always possible we could have gotten one of those that we don't test for. But mm-hmm. I have a personal, this is not based upon any evidence or any epidemiology. My personal working theory is we had so many positive flu tests because people had the flu, felt sick enough to come in because they also may have been exposed to the coronavirus as well.
At Cuppy Cup. So A&M representing. What percentage of ladder falls come to the ER wearing a college football jersey?
Is quite a bit of I see more like high school football t-shirts with them.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes a whole lot.
Yeah. I did. I had a rash of like of roof falls. And that's another thing. If you don't have to do something risky right now, now's not a time to come into a trauma bay.
What is the most hey y'all watch this injury you've had to deal with?
Oh God, I have such a good, and this is when y'all do the kitchen, you know, the disaster episodes. Mm-hmm.
We do have one more reader question that won't get you into trouble. Which comes from Jorge Escalante at Escalante Brew on Twitter. It's an extremely important question. My crawfish dealer is offering delivery of live crawfish, including potatoes and corn.
I wanted this question included because it sounds as though the potatoes and corn are also alive. Mm.
Is this a safe method of obtaining crawfish? Because crawfish season don't stop.
You know, everyone's getting food and other deliveries and things like that. And, you know, any contact is going to be a little risky, but it's probably no less risky than getting, you know, your food delivered or groceries delivered or Amazon packages or things like that. You're going to be cooking it, but you're also going to be touching the packages that they're in. And you know, you're going to be interacting with the person because you're going to be tipping them generously because they're out delivering crustaceans to your ass. Everything you have to do, you have to kind of weigh your risks and benefits.
I think we are through the list of our questions. Ken, is there anything else you want to shriek into the void that is our audience?
No, just, you know, again, like we said, be careful of the information that you're looking. Stay your ass at home. Take care of yourself. Check on, you have older neighbors, if you have people who have young kids at home that can't get out and you can offer to go to the store for them or have stuff delivered. There are, one of the things that this is exposed is our complete and total inadequacy as a society to look out for people who are not as advantaged as the rest of us. But on the flip side, I think it's really showing a lot of people are sort of rediscovering their communities. And it's hard to say that there's a silver lining in all this, but I'm hoping that maybe some of that stuff changes. The other thing specifically, and I told Holly, you know, you guys, what you guys do for a living, you know, no, you're not innovating people, fighting fires, but you know what? You might be fighting fires.
No, I mean recreationally innovating.
I mean, it's not hard. I could teach you.
yeah.
A tube.
It's, you know, find a hole.
Break time. Sorry.
BiPAP time.
Oh, God.
but you know, when I travel several hours to my shops. When I get done, the last thing I want to do is think about what I've done or listen to the news or do things like that. So once a week, I have an hour and a half where I can listen to some people who love each other very much, sit there and rip on each other and joke. And it's escapism for me. And I know it is for lots of the other people. So you are helping. And I'm very, very, very grateful that you guys are able to continue to do this. And, you know, it's a very, very much of an honor for me to get in and get to talk to you guys. But I also wanted to say thank you for just being here and making things a little light for a while.
I intend to let this go to my head immediately.
You should.
I'm basically saying, listen, stupid's always been a national resource. We're just weaponizing it now.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so
much. Ken, thank you so much. Stay safe out there. And we'll talk to you again in happier times.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's hear another winner's bone joke from Spencer.
So he's working in the area of the country we call the Winter's Bone.
No, my God, we get it. You have the Criterion Channel.
I don't even know the Criterion Channel. You know that. Don't be putting fancy things out there. I don't know.
Twitter user Hello Newman, spelled in the LSU fashion, asks, does Jim McElwain's close contact with animals strengthen his immunity?
Well, not to COVID specifically, right? Like, if anything, it probably makes him more likely to be not necessarily patient zero for this disease, but patient zero for a disease that transfers from animals to humans, right? Like, that's sort of the premise of the documentary Contagion. So if you will, he is the Gwyneth Paltrow of college football.
He's going to get the shark flu.
Correct.
Shark. He's got some goop for sale.
He's going to get Mako herpes.
Okay, that's it's a thing you've said. It exists now in the world.
I did it. If you want to know who patient zero was, it's Jim McElwain. But who invented it? Me, in a lab.
Never mind. It's not important.
From one swell foop at blank scientist. We could use some blank scientists right now. Any scientist. be they permeable, transparent, reflective.
Plasma. Plasma scientists.
They could be liquid, because liquid is liquid.
Stop it.
Well, I'll take a gaseous scientist right now.
Absolutely.
That'd be pretty fucking useful.
They could, I don't know if they were gaseous, they might be inert, but at least they might be noble.
But they could just fucking seep in under a door and research.
Who's the Marvel character that's a living planet?
That's Guiji.
That's Ego.
Oh, okay. Ego, yeah. Also, but Guiji I would take as well.
Our friend, the semi-permeable scientist who cannot be observed, says, can USC still be overrated if we don't play a football season? And I think the answer is yes, because if we had a preseason AP poll at this point, based on stuff like S&P+, USC would be like a top 20 team.
What?
And that, yeah. So would Texas. Both of these things would horrify everyone, and we would immediately say, this team is fucking overrated. This is ridiculous. We always do this. So, I mean, I think it's pretty simple. They already are. USC is overrated for 2020, and it won't even matter whether we have a season or not.
Wait.
Schrodinger's brats.
What if we – God, that's amazing. What if we get
– brats.
What if we get another recruiting cycle in and – suddenly, Clay Helton.
They're never going to get rid of Clay Helton.
Never, never. What if he improves and manages to win, about 8 or 9 games?
Oh, I thought you said Claytona virus.
I thought you were saying improved at recruiting to like 45th in the country.
45th.
Cracked the top 37.
So, like, what if the recruiting cycle is like everybody gets one recruit and USC, they just happen to land a 5-star? I don't know where they'd find one of those in Southern fucking California, but like, they just happen to get a top 10 guy. So boom, top 10 class.
My question is, like, is this affecting how Chip recruits at all? Do you think Chip is just like at his computer looking up and being like,
I'm going to answer that question.
We can't do what?
I'm going to answer that question with my immediate thought, which was to say, Ryan, Chip isn't even fucking coaching college anymore. You've had a kid for too long.
Chip is just looking at some like 2-star fullback out of Las Cruces, like, oh, daddy.
He's like, okay, cool. Will he just sign tomorrow? All right, that's good.
Yeah. Chip's already done with his 2021 recruiting because he's, offered like 40 kids. So
this is why you can't send Chip to the grocery store. He'll be like, okay, we need fruit. Well, old apples were in front, so I just took a bunch of those and I left.
We're going quarantine shopping with Chip Kelly.
And then he's like, I'm an innovator.
Box of raisins.
Did you get any toilet paper? Yeah, I bought a bunch of magazines.
They were in the front, too. They were easy. They were right there.
I could call him Charmin Chip.
Just send him in and he's back out in like 13 minutes. Like, what? No, Chip, we got to survive the next year.
The current two coaches in Los Angeles, one of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country,
say fertile while I'm thinking about Chip Kelly.
They're both the gnomes who sneeze gold and don't value it, right? Like, oh, I don't know. The stuff's just laying around everywhere.
Wait, is that a fairy tale?
And it is now.
The gnomes who sneeze gold and don't value it.
Two gnomes, one named Chip, one named Clay. They're both indistinguishable. And... completely. Oh, come on. Like, if you didn't know Chip from, like, his prior, like, what Chip is just a potato.
No, he looks like, they both look like characters in the old David the Gnome cartoon.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Gnome number 7 and Gnome number 9.
Yeah.
Right? And both of them have no respect for the resource whatsoever. They're like, you know what something really valuable is? Tin.
Yeah.
Well, I think Chip is the cool one here because he doesn't give a shit. Whereas, like, you put Chip anywhere, New Hampshire, Oregon, USC, you know, we put him in literally every corner of the country and he's the same dude. He doesn't give a shit. You know,
Chip Kelly is like,
anybody, I'll drop some cool plays and we'll win, you know, we'll win games. It'll be fine. But Clay gives a shit and he can't do it. No. That's the tragedy of Clay.
It's like Goofus and Goofuser.
Chip, we need you to go to the store, get paper towels, eggs, and steak. I brought back a Kiko Alonso. Is that good? That's what I found.
We traded for him.
Chip is just astonishing to me because he is just the guy who never stopped liking ska. Like, yeah. Right.
But for the visuals, just
don't get less upsetting tonight.
But to be clear, he likes it for the right reasons.
Oh, yeah. No, it's real. It's real. Yeah. But, like, at every turn, when you go, oh, hey, how about this 4-star piece of like, new hip-hop? He's like, yeah, but have you considered this 2-star ska?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what are the wrong reasons to like ska?
To make friends. To be popular. Yeah, he likes the musicality of it.
Okay.
It's called the funk soul, brother Ryan. There's no I in it.
To fit in with the very cool popular ska crowd.
That's right.
I think if you got a hookup on cheap bowling shoes and you just want an excuse to wear them, that's probably the wrong reason.
That's one of the wrong reasons, yeah.
The scheme has some problems, Chip.
Yep.
I'm gonna go ahead, I'm gonna take Boat Drinks question here, which is Zach Boat Drinks Russo. At Zach Russo 1 asks, please cast a medical drama using SEC coaches.
No. Next question.
I had a really – Jeremy Pruitt was going to play the corpse in the hallway.
Wow. It's hurtful.
Has he been floating in a canal for 3 days? Or We shouldn't joke about corpses right now.
I think if you're talking about TV medical drama corpses, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We found this one out back.
I think Will Muschamp is the intern who's always wrong and is always pissed about it. Who's like, we can't save him.
But he doesn't actually turn out to be a really good doctor.
Oh, yeah. It turns out he was actually just 8 possums inside of a lab coat.
Can we have Muschamp be the guy who always wants to yell, clear?
He's the janitor who wants to yell, clear. Stay away from the paddles, Will.
He doesn't know that there is an actual on button to the paddles. He thinks you just scream clear and then like, boom.
And he also wants to use them too frequently. Like, he thinks that's punting. He's like, we're playing for field position, people. Clear!
Speaking of 8 possums in a lab coat, did y'all know there's a new Wayside School book out?
No.
We don't deserve this, but it's happening.
Cool.
I'm really happy about that. I only have one other piece of casting to do, which is Dan Mullen is the overly cheerful pathologist, right? Yeah, you see that stuff on the X-ray? Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, he's the one who like looks at the deadly pathogen under the microscope and is like, "Well, hello, beautiful."
Yeah, that's totally Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's the guy. Like, yeah, you see that clouding right there? Yeah, it's fatal. You're not. Wow, that's woo.
Yeah,
look at that. Look at it go.
Can we do Coach O as like the chiropractor who's just like,
"I'm gonna hug you real tight."
Yeah, he just yells some really cool shit at you and punches you in the spine, and you're like, you know what? I don't know fucking why, but I feel great. Thanks, Coach.
He studied under like the walloping yogis of India, right? What do they do? They brought me up on the mountain to beat the crap out of me. I feel a little better.
Nick Saban is the hospital administrator who's like, your results are one thing, but your methods are unsound. You're out of my hospital. Absolutely not.
Is he not the Undertaker?
Turn in your badge and gun.
It could be. You'll never work at Gun Hospital again.
Hospital Sheriff.
In Gun Hospital. That's what the SEC's hospital. Gun Hospital.
In Arkansas, so like, that might be true.
So like people bring in their sick guns and we nurse them back to life.
Or all treatment is dealt with via gun.
Please, my wife, she's jammed.
Gus Malzahn, completely the anesthesiologist, because every time we're like, hey, didn't you go 8-5 last season? Count to three.
And also, what does the anesthesiologist do? All right, let's slow it down. Slow it down. Slow it.
Yeah.
Speed it up.
Well, plus the anesthesiologist is like, hey, I'm only going to be here for about 20 minutes in this whole show, but I'm getting paid like a top actor. So thank you.
If you listen to Gus Malzahn speak, what would you hear?
Yep.
You're counting backwards from 10 wins to 9 wins to 8 wins.
Jimbo, foolhardy surgeon who keeps losing patients on the table. But
trouble out of network.
Well, I lost another one. Guess I'm going hunting. Cabin boy.
Jimbo's a plastic surgeon. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
No. Lane Kiffin's a plastic surgeon, baby.
Lane Kiffin is a plastic surgeon.
You know?
Lane Kiffin is a plastic surgeon. Like Jimbo is actually licensed. We'll give him that.
Lane is a strip mall plastic surgeon.
Lane Kiffin is the male nurse who never wears underwear under
Lane Kiffin is a stripper mall plastic surgeon. Yes.
Oh my God. I'm an orderly by day and a dancer by night.
Except when they flip my shifts.
Mike Leach is the neurologist with a terrible reputation.
Oh, yeah. With no bedside manner whatsoever.
Yeah, none. Yeah, so we're going to cut your head open right here. I can't believe the noise it makes when that saw screams.
What are you, five? That's cool.
That's great.
Funny thing about aneurysm. Wait, how can it be a neurologist if he doesn't believe in head injuries?
That's the irony. See, the internal, like the essential irony to the character, right? Opens up the head. He's like, looks fine.
He took this job.
That's malpractice, like, not irony.
Find evidence of it. Uh-huh.
We didn't say this was a good show. Mm. Just casting it.
So it's on ABC.
That's correct. It's on ABC.
I think, can we do Mark Stoops as the guy who's like somehow keeping the whole thing afloat?
Oh, he is the competent doctor who's not pretty enough for people to actually appreciate.
Tupelo MD.
I think it's like somebody comes in, they got the leg blown off, and he's like, all I got is an arm. You're going to have to make do. And they do.
God, the three episode guest arc for Lynn Bowden, just breathtaking.
And then Eli Drinkwitz sometimes shows up, and we remember that Missouri is in the conference.
Eli Drinkwitz is the underwritten intern who was supposed to be really brilliant, right? But they just kind of forgot him because the actor has nothing on screen, right? So they're just like, he has one episode that's all intro.
There's such a thing as a system orthopedist.
Yeah, he's the system orthopedist, right?
Is Mizzou our like bottle episode?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because then we can put them back in the bottle when we're done.
Yeah. And Scott Bakula is there.
He's not busy.
That's true, I think.
So that's every school in the SEC.
Good night.
Definitely didn't.
didn't miss anyone.
If I keep trying to end the show, eventually we'll end the show and we can go to bed.
Will it, though? Mm.
I have a harrowing prospect to raise from reader Zach Thompson, who wrote in via email. I had been talking on Twitter about how my nephews had invented a new sport. They've actually invented three sports since quarantine started. The first one was when one of them put a cardboard box on the head of another one, and the other one would punch him, and they called it boxing.
Where was the punching? Happened.
In the box toward the head.
You punched him in the head where they
kept coming. I didn't punch him.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
But they punched each other. Today's sports they invented were terrible space program.
Mm-hmm.
And then one that I just never got the grasp of at all that was called Please Kill Paul Bunyan.
Uh-huh.
But that's Zach Thompson raises a chilling point. I fear that an unintended consequence of staying at home is we are creating the most powerful generation of uncles the world has ever known.
This is a tough one because on the one hand, we are over-supervising future uncles in a way that maybe limits their opportunity for mischief. On the other hand, we are also showing them that supervision doesn't matter, that they can just uncle out as hard as they possibly can.
They're unking up.
Yeah.
I sort of observe when like our fellow quarantined nieces and nephews are over here, supervision is not going very far. Like there's there's only so far you can go with supervision.
These are not my kids, but I was in the room when they came up with all three of these sports, and my presence did not make a difference.
Yeah, like I think parents and uncles and aunts across America are just sort of like, I don't know.
Is this what it's like to work at a laser tag facility?
I hope, man.
Where you're just sort of like, listen, please don't break the equipment. Don't get seriously injured. And then at some point I'm going to leave.
How long into a laser tag game have you gone before somebody just outright swung the gun at somebody? Every single time I've been there with kids, one 8 or 7 year old just figures out, you know, you could shoot somebody, but this hurts a lot more if you hit him in the head with it.
Lethal weapon, bitch.
There are no columns on the laser tag scorecard for pistol whipping.
No, and there's also no internal affairs at the Q-Zar.
That is its own show.
That is the Q-Zar. Show.
Q-Zar HR.
I'm IA Q-Zar.
God, I miss Q-Zar.
I hear there's a 6-year-old beating the shit out of people with a laser tag pistol.
I'd like to remind all y'all that we tried to have our Houston show in a laser tag arena, and we're not able to find one for our needs. So if you're out there and you own one, when we're allowed back out into the world again, we would like very much to go indoors immediately. Call us.
You're a loose cannon, Terry.